Blog Talk Radio.
And all access football inclusive.
Welcome back to another edition of the NFL Draft Bible presents Draft Digest Weekly here on March 3rd, 2011, 56 days to the 2011 NFL Draft in honor of Lawrence Taylor. We got 56 days and we're counting you down each and every day at the NFLDraftBible.com. I am your host for today, Rick Saratella, filling in for Daniel Moglione. And we are going to do a power hour over the next 60 minutes. We've got a great show lined up. We will be talking to Brian Martin of Test Football Academy. Those of you in the know with training facilities leading up to the NFL Scouting Combine are familiar with Brian. His players fared very well in Indianapolis. Players such as Patrick Peterson, who blazed the 40, Darrell Scott, who absolutely blazed the 40, Ryan Bartholomew, if you watch the big men run on that first day from Syracuse, the center, he earned himself a lot of cash with a great performance across the board. We're also going to have Travell Gaines from Athletes Performance. You know, again, another powerhouse combine training facility. I'm talking about looking at the list here. A.J. Green, Cameron Hayward's working out down there, Daquan Bowers, J.J. Watt. The list goes on and on. And, you know, between Ryan and Travell, you know, combined, they trained about 120 athletes total for the NFL Scouting Combine. I mean, folks, there was only 330 players invited, so over a third of those players were trained by these two individuals that we'll have on this evening. Of course, we'll also have some of the NFL Draft Bible familia, and Bo Marchant, our NFL Draft Bible ninja, along with Joe Everett, will be on hand. We were up in Indianapolis along with the good Reverend Ralph Mancini and got a chance to spend a lot of time with these athletes, hang out with them, talk with them one-on-one. So they'll be adding a lot of additional perspective. And Joe is going to bless us with our new and revised top 10 mock draft at the end of the show coming up. About the last 15 minutes or so in the show, we're going to have some fun. He's going to give us his brand new top 10 mock draft following the NFL Scouting Combine up there in Indianapolis, impact and analysis. So should be a lot of fun. Also, want to remind everybody that today is Thursday, March 3rd, 2011. Yes, 56 days from the draft. And later on today at 6:30 p.m., we will continue our on-the-clock countdown draft series here on All Access Football. You know, we cover each and every team, all 32. We're up to the ninth pick now. Dallas Cowboys are going to be on the clock. The good Reverend Ralph Mancini will be joining me for that coming up right here at 6:30 on the All Access Football Network. So lots to do, lots going on, lots to cover, and can't wait to get into it. Obviously, a little bit of some bad news going on in the state of the NFL with the lockout. We'll try not to dwell too much on that today. In fact, I'd like to really not talk about it at all. I do want to point out, though, the interesting thing that really is going to be rough on some of these young kids that don't get drafted, kind of lingering and waiting in limbo as NFL teams are not allowed to have any contact with free agents. And that goes for veteran free agents as well as the undrafted rookie free agents. And that's going to be a little dicey, you know, if this lockout lasts into training camp or even into some of the games. I mean, if this thing, you know, goes into September, October, you miss 4-6 games, it's going to be kind of hard to sign an undrafted rookie free agent and teach them the offense or the defense, whatever the case may be, and get them whipped into game conditions in a matter of days or weeks or whatever the case may be. But it'll be very interesting to see how it all unfolds. You can keep tabs. You can keep up with it over at the NFLDraftBible.com. We are slowly but surely finally releasing some of the combine results in our updated big board rankings. If you get a chance, log on to NFLDraftBible.com. And we haven't had a chance to post it on the headlines on the homepage, but if you go to the player rankings, so far on the offensive side of the ball, we do have the quarterbacks, running backs, fullbacks, and wide receivers. All their combine results, as well as draft projections and rankings there at the NFLDraftBible.com. But enough for me. Let's welcome in the NFL Draft Bible Ninja. That would be Bo Marchant. And by the way, folks, he is on Twitter now, at Bo Marchant. That's BoMarchiont. We got to help you out here, Bo. Not quite Charlie Sheen-ish, but you did have 60 followers in your first day.
Yeah, my buddies were teasing me about that. I tried to catch Charlie Sheen up, but yeah, he got me beaten. But you know, maybe if I get another million, I'll catch up just a little bit.
Yeah, we're working on it. We're working on it there, and you know, you are the man in the know and conducted well over 30, 40 interviews in a couple of days there in Indianapolis. Really got a chance to spend a lot of time up close and personal with these kids. Want to spend a few minutes on what you saw, your observations, impact, and analysis. Why don't we start off by, you know, maybe the biggest surprise while you were in Indianapolis? Who over exceeded expectations in your opinion?
Well, I think one guy that kind of came out of nowhere was Ryan Bartholomew, the Syracuse guard. You know, going into it, I think he was probably ranked between 25 and 30 overall. But I think he's a kid that, you know, he comes out, he does 34 reps on the bench. That's the most by any lineman. He runs quality 40 times, some of the top 40 times for the lineman. You know, he did all. And, from looking and talking to different people, you know, he looked athletic, he looked fluid. So I think, you know, one guy that it wasn't like I was, you know, had Ryan Bartholomew on my checklist thing of guys to watch when I got to Indianapolis. But, you know, walking away from it, you know, and spending some time with him and then him performing like he did, you know, I was glad I was able to sit down and talk with him, because I think when you look at all the guys that actually blew the combine away, you know, I know he doesn't have the Julio Jones type, bam, you know, that wide receiver. But I think Ryan Bartholomew, the Syracuse, offensive lineman, is one guy that definitely – put his draft arrows north, and he's one guy that's definitely climbing boards.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're talking about a 302-pound offensive lineman who ran a sub-540, came in at 497. As you mentioned, 34 reps in the bench press, and a 1.63 in the 10-yard split. I mean, that's pretty impressive if you ask me. There's some slow running backs out there running those kind of times, Bo. I want to ask you, we're talking to Bo Marchant, NFL Draft Bible there, Rick Saratella here, talking about some combine risers. Who else impressed you there in Indianapolis, Bo?
Well, I think one guy that ever impressed everybody was Julio Jones. I think, you know, that was evident. But, you know, I was happy to see somebody that's been a favorite of ours at the NFL Draft Bible is the Fort Valley kid, you know, Ricardo Lockett, the wide receiver. He tied Edmund Gates with the fastest 40 time of the day by wide receivers. Second fastest for, you know, offensive guys. You know, but I thought he opened a lot of eyes. You know, even to listen to NFL Sirius Radio, you know, Gil Brandt was saying that he was a guy that opened his eyes. And I was fortunate enough to actually talk to Gil a couple times down at the combine, and we actually talked about Ricardo Lockett, trying to, you know, try to put that in his head. Hey, you know, this is a guy you want to pay attention to. You know, he's going to really do well at Indy. So I think, you know, talking about another player who went in there under the radar. You know, I talked with Bucky Brooks from the NFL Network, another guy, shot his name. Make sure you listen and pay attention to this kid, because he's going to open some eyes. You know, now, I mean, Ricardo Lockett was on ESPN's First Take yesterday. So, I mean, that just shows you if you have a good week in Indy and you open some eyes, you can definitely get a lot of notice. So another player who went down to Indianapolis and wasn't on the radar screen so much as somebody that everybody was paying attention to. But a week later, he's somebody that everybody's talking about. So I think he definitely did go for himself.
Yeah, Ricardo Lockett, Fort Valley State. Folks, if you don't know, you better log on to NFLDraftBible.com and ask somebody. This kid was blazing up in the 4.37 in the 40-yard dash. He comes in at about 6'2", 210 pounds. So a very intriguing prospect here as we bring you the names that you need to know. Ricardo Lockett, definitely one to watch for. How about on the flip side, Bo? Who's somebody that you were either, you know, looking forward to participating at the Combine or in Indianapolis, or maybe didn't exactly perform up to par or expectations?
The one guy I thought of, you know, I was kind of, you know, I'm from Ohio, so I was paying attention to Malcolm Jenkins, defensive back from Ohio State. He was one guy that I thought kind of had to run a better 40 than what he did. I know he ran like a 4.59, and, you know, that's just not going to cut it. I thought he had to go a lot faster. I think that's going to kind of, you know, that's going to be something he's going to have to shake come Ohio State's pro day. He's definitely going to want to improve on that 40 time because nobody wants a defensive back running 4.6, 4.5, you know, 4.59. That's, I think that was disappointing to me. Like I said, I thought he would run a little faster and I thought he would do a little better for himself. But I think he's one of those guys that definitely took the ding walking out of Indianapolis. I think his errors were going south. So pro day, Malcolm Jenkins, Ohio State defensive back, is definitely going to have to get that 40 up to respectability if he wants to have a, you know, when his name gets called, he's not going to want to hear where it gets called right now. He definitely wants to turn that 40 time into something special, and then he'll be able to hear his name on draft day and be a lot happier.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Bo, you're becoming a veteran at this now, heading up there to the Combine in Indianapolis. Why don't you just give some of our listeners maybe a firsthand experience of what it's like up there behind the scenes, you know, media access, rubbing elbows with some very heavy hitters in the NFL draft process. Give us a little glimpse of what it's like.
Well, you know, the one good thing about the Indianapolis, or, you know, or the, I always say the Indianapolis, but about the NFL scouting combine is, you know, they put you in a giant room. There's, you know, all the media is kind of filtered in there, you know, and it's a work atmosphere all day long. They're sending every single player on that specific day. I mean, if it's prior to the offensive lineman and tight ends working out, the day prior to their workouts, those guys will come through the media facility. Now, those guys are open to you on Thursday, and then the next group's open to you on Friday. So, like, Saturday, all the wide receivers, quarterbacks, and running backs came through on Saturday. They worked out on Sunday. Sunday's the last day for all the media. It's Thursday to Sunday. After that, they boot us out. So you got 4 days, but they bring all the guys through. So, I mean, some guys don't talk. Like, I don't believe Pouncey came through, and I think I want to say Rudolph. I didn't think Kyle Rudolph came through as well for the tight ends that particular day. But, you know, one of the best things, Rick, is they have almost every 15 minutes to a half hour, they either have a GM or a head coach come to one of the podiums. And there's nothing like getting that access from a head coach or a GM where you can, you know, really get, you know, inside their head and ask them some of the stuff that you really want to know. I mean, because it becomes a monotonous thing with the players. I mean, you know, I mean, if you bring Cam Newton up, you're going to ask Cam Newton the same things you ask Blaine Gabbert. You're going to ask Blaine Gabbert the same things you ask Jake Locker and Christian Ponder and Pat Devlin, and it goes on and on. So that becomes tedious. But when you have different coaches and, you know, there's always some sort of different angle, a different guy. Hey, why are you going to tag Lamar Woodley with this franchise tagger? Or why are you using this? What's going to happen with Sidney Rice? Hey, are you going to look for another running back to back up Frank Gore? I mean, so you got a lot of different avenues from that. But, you know, and then after that, you still got players walking around the city. You know, everywhere you look, you know, you look to your left, there's Mike Singletary. You look to your right, there's a guy like Mike Leach. You know, so there's always some guy walking around, NFL scout, coach, GM, player. And, and even if you're bumping around, if you go to, like, Buca de Pepe, you might even see the NFL draft Bible guy sitting there having dinner with Omar Sean, Rick Santella, and Ralph Mancini. You might see those guys either. So, you know, you never know who you're going to see.
Hey, the bada bing, bada boom club over there, man. Let me tell you. but would you say more media coverage this year than ever before?
Well, you know what? I know they got the most credentials. I think they – I heard 750. I believe that was the most requests. It still seemed quiet inside Lucas Oil. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't like they had any more seats. For whatever reason, it didn't seem busier. I still think Tim Tebow was a lot bigger draw than Cam Newton. I know people might find that hard to believe. It was only a year ago, but Tim Tebow packed the house. And I know Cam had a big crowd, but, you know, Tebow did pretty good himself. And I remember going down to Mobile, I mean, for the Senior Bowl. I mean, you know, it was Tim Tebow crazy. I mean, so I still thought it was a little bit more hectic last year than this year. But like I said, I do know that they had more media requests, but for whatever reason, it didn't seem like it was crazy. I really don't know why.
Hey, we're talking to Bo Marchant here, NFL Draft Bible there. Rick Saratella here. And, Bo, I'm going to get you up out of here, but a couple quick things before I let you go since you mentioned them. We made it 15 minutes through the show without talking about them, but Cam Newton, you said the C word. Right now, where do you have him projected going in the draft?
Well, I think if he goes early, I'm saying if he goes inside the top 10, I think he goes to Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati is the team that would pull the trigger on him first. I just think with Carson Palmer looming and him wanting out of there, I think that gives him some options to deal him out of town. And I just think if he goes that high, I think he ends up going to Cincinnati. You know, I know he turned a lot of people off, I think. You know, I've read a lot of different things, you know, just with his personal interviews and whatnot. I mean, the kid's physically gifted. We all know that, you know, but he's, you know, it's those things that make quarterbacks special. I mean, you know, you don't have to be the most physically gifted player to be the quarterback. You have to have the intangibles, and I don't know if that's all there, at least yet. You know, Gus Malzahn, the offensive coordinator at Auburn, did a great job. I mean, he's from Tulsa. I thought he and Cam worked terrific together. I mean, so I think a lot of things went right for Cam this year. So, if I was a team realistically picking him, I still think he should be a guy that goes between 15 and 20. I mean, I think that type of investment on a guy that I don't think you can use early just because of the system he used in at Auburn, I find it kind of ironic because, you know, Rick, you know as well as I do, a lot of these coaches are on hot seats. You don't have a lot of time to get these guys in and get yourself situated. I mean, you got to win now. You got to win quick. You know, let's think about all those teams up high. Carolina, you ain't going to turn that thing around quick. Bengals, no. Buffalo, no. Arizona, meh. You know, so you got a lot of teams up there that they need quarterbacks, but they need a lot of other things too. And for them to take a guy that high that they can't get immediate production out of, that's a hard pill for me to swallow. So I would shy away from it. I think 15 to 20, I think that's where he should go. Where NFL decision makers make him go, I think it'll be a little bit higher. But hey, that's, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I've been wrong before, so.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that all unfolds and develops. We'll definitely be keeping tabs on that at the NFL Draft Bible. Hey, Bo, as always, a pleasure to talk to you, sir. I'm sure we'll be talking soon, and that's Bo Marchant of the NFL Draft Bible, folks.
Thanks, Rick. Have a great night, my man.
You got it. And, you know, we're keeping it moving right along here on this NFL Draft Digest weekly show. Rick Saratella welcoming in our next guest, the man of the hour, Brian Martin from Chest Football Academy. They got two facilities, one in Martinsville, New Jersey, another in Boca Raton, Florida. And, you know, if you are not paying attention out there, folks, this guy is helping people achieve some outstanding numbers at the combine. As we mentioned before, Patrick Peterson, Darrell Scott, you heard Bo talking about Ryan Bartholomew, just to name a few. Brian, welcome to the show. I want to get right into it. And before we talk about some of these players that you're helping get prepared for the NFL draft and the NFL scouting combine that was last week, I just want to give our listening audience a little perspective as far as what you do exactly, because, you know, the NFL scouting combine has become such an event now, and it can definitely earn or hurt people's draft stock. And I think we've seen these athletes today prepare for this event more and more, but it really is about technique now, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's become a lot more technique-driven, and it's something that, you know, a lot of people would say in the past, you know, either a fast guy runs fast and a slow guy runs slow, but, you know, we found just through a lot of research and development, I mean, you can't take a guy that's a 5'5 guy and make him a 4'8 guy, but, you know, on average, with a lot of technique and biomechanical analysis and working together with Otto Bolden, our speed guru, who's a four-time Olympic medalist, you know, Otto, myself, my partner Kevin Dunn, you know, and our partners down in Florida, you got Mike Smith and Jeff Sanders, Don Iceman, and we have a whole team of guys that focus on the biomechanical analysis, videotaping every day, looking at it, breaking it down, and, you know, the average skill player is taking almost 0.2 off their 40-yard dash over a 7-8 week period, and the average lineman's taking almost 0.4 off. So, you know, the guys are doing really well with technique review.
Yeah, we're talking to Brian Martin of Test Football Academy. Folks, just to give you some examples, as Brian mentioned, I mean, players come to him. Bryson McCain, for example, you may remember the cornerback, came to Brian, was running in the 4.5 range, lit up the combine, shaved literally what he ran in the 4.2 range, something like that. Went from a priority free agent to actually being selected in the NFL draft. The thing that amazed me, maybe, just looking at some of your past guys, Brian, Joe Flacco, I mean, you get this guy under a sub-5.40, and I want to mention, you know, he actually had a faster three-cone drill than Mike Vick, and just from a football fan's perspective, I mean, how in the heck does that happen?
Well, you know, Joe's a special athlete, I think, number one. I mean, our technique review and training program and, you know, all that helped, but, I mean, Joe Flacco's probably the most competitive athlete I've ever seen. And, you know, he looked at those drills and really wanted to master them and prove that he was a great athlete and could move and could run. And, you know, his will to excel on those drills was the biggest piece of it, I think. And plugging him into the drills. And when it comes to the short shuttle and the three cone, you know, it's really having a lot of hip flexibility, mobility, and explosiveness. And, you know, Joe had all those things, but he also had long arms. So on those drills, you can use your arm length a little bit too to shave some time off, but, I mean, he was just so damn explosive and worked so hard to get there that, I mean, a lot of people can't believe it was faster than Mike Vick, but it was, and, you know, he actually came into us at 224, finished up at 238, so he put on 14 pounds and gotten a lot faster, so, you know, we were proud of him and, you know, just blessed to work with an athlete at that level.
Talking to Brian Martin here, Test Football Academy. Brian, let's talk about some of these guys that you had up there in Indianapolis. I believe you're training over 50 guys that were there in attendance. You talk about explosiveness. I got to start off with this kid, Darrell Scott from Maryland, running in the 4.3 range. I think he went off at like 4.34 at Indianapolis. Were you surprised by that, or had he been consistently timing in that range leading up to the combine?
Well, you know, I would say not surprised, because Darrell's an explosive, you know, just incredible kid who was very diligent. A little bit surprised because he did have he played in two bowl games. You know, he's fortunate enough to go into the East-West Shrine game and then right from there right into the Senior Bowl, and he was a little banged up. So, you know, we had to work a lot. He had a little bit of a strain in his quad. We had to work through that, and, you know, we were just thankful that he was healthy. And, you know, we were a little surprised with that 4.34. You know, healthy we would not be, but, you know, he was a little banged up and still ran that. So he still had a little more in the tank. I think he could have even ran a little bit better if he was 100% healthy. But, you know, with two bowl games back-to-back, definitely took its toll on him a little bit. But, you know, he's a durable, tough kid, and he's extremely explosive. And I think, you know, he made a lot of money this week for sure.
Absolutely. Amazing, amazing stuff. Talking to Brian Martin, Test Football Academy. Brian, you guys got a couple of pro day workouts coming up, the first one being March 31st in Boca Raton, the second being April 1st in Martinsville, New Jersey. Now, I know Patrick Peterson is working out with you guys down in Florida. Does this kid really need to do a pro day workout after the performance he had this past week? Does he plan to work out, do you know?
Yeah, well, he's actually, I mean, he did so well. I mean, he can rest on his times and his lifts and everything else. He's in phenomenal condition. He performed extremely well. Very proud of him, and, you know, working closely with his dad, Pat Sr., to help, help, you know, cultivate everything that he's been born with. He's just an amazing athlete. But you know, he's going to go to LSU and run, you know, do some positional drills on the 14th back in Baton Rouge. And, you know, then we'll get him back. We're having that pro day on the 31st where another opportunity, you know, for him to just come out and do some positional work, but nothing timed. You know, just to do positionals and, you know, meet some of the scouts and, you know, spend a little more time if anybody has any questions and, you know, just keep an eye on how he's doing, and that's about it. But he definitely doesn't need to time out again.
Yeah, some people are now projecting him as possibly the first overall pick in the entire 2011 NFL draft after that workout. There's another guy, Brian, from LSU that I want to talk about that, you know, he didn't get a chance to work out this past week at Indianapolis, but from what I hear, you know, he's a player flying under the radar, in my opinion. That's the running back from LSU. That's Stephen Ridley. Now, I've been informed he's received a second or third round grade from the NFL Draft Advisory Committee. For some reason, I don't see him getting the respect around the internet, should I say, from some of these other places, ranking guys. What do you expect? I believe he's going to work out at his pro day workout for LSU. I don't know if he'll be working out with you guys on the 31st, but what do you expect to see from Stephen Ridley, an intriguing prospect that people want to know about?
Yeah, well, Stephen is an amazing kid, and he's great friends with Pat Peterson, and he did run at the combine, so he was out there and performed very well. I mean, the one thing he wasn't happy with was his 40-yard dash, so he's going to redo that at the LSU Pro Day on the 14th. You know, he's not from the Florida area, so he won't be able to participate in our Pro Day on the 31st. But, you know, what's intriguing about Stephen is, number one, he's a great kid. He's a very hard worker, and he's a big back. I mean, he's a modern-day Earl Campbell-type kid, big lower body, real explosive, very strong laterally, catches the ball well. And he was actually a quarterback in high school, so he can throw it too. Not quite as fast as a Ronnie Brown, but I think as versatile. He blocks well. He can catch the ball extremely well. You know, I think is it coming in as a short yardage back and, you know, catching the ball and doing a lot of different things in these two-headed monster situations, I think he's a perfect, you know, big back that's going to bang some guys around, catch the ball really well, and, you know, and he can throw it when he needs to with this Wildcat craze going on. He's a guy that can throw the ball 60 yards on a rope.
Yeah, Stephen Ridley, a guy to watch as we lead up to the 2011 NFL Draft. Listening to Draft Digest Weekly here with Rick Serratella. We're joined by Brian Martin from Test Football Academy. Coming up, Pro Day Workout March 31st in Boca Raton, April 1st in Martinsville, New Jersey. Training over 50 players who participated in the NFL Scouting Combine. I know you guys have a lot of veteran players also working out with you guys right now, Brian. But I got to ask you, you know, who better off to kick off the Pro Day season than you? I know you were down at the Florida Atlantic Pro Day today. You had a couple of individuals you were help prepping for the Florida Atlantic Pro Day guys that didn't necessarily get an invite to the combine. We're talking about Travis Polo, the cornerback, Michael Lockley, the linebacker, Dino Cox, defensive lineman, and Tavarius Hill, another corner. Talk a little bit about how these guys performed today and what kind of turnout that you guys had at Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, everything was great today. I mean, we're running our program right at Florida Atlantic University. So, you know, we're honored to be on that campus and be a part of that pro day today. The guys did extremely well. You know, I don't want to get into too many times, but I mean, it was, you know, the scouts are still kind of meeting right now, consolidating all the numbers. But, you know, one I will let out was, you know, Mike Lockley, the running back or the linebacker rather. You know, Lockley went out and ran a blazing 4.56, 4.55 on many watches, you know, on the grass at 237 pounds, and he jumped almost 40 inches on the vertical. He's an incredibly explosive athlete, you know, and, you know, had over 120 tackles this year during the season, got overlooked from the combine, and, you know, I think he's a real sleeper in the draft. He's a top three or four fastest linebackers in the country. He had 5 block kicks this year. Just an incredible athlete, and, you know, a couple of the other guys are nursing through some injuries and a couple different things. know, Dino Cox has a little minor hamstring issue going on, and you know, Tavius had a little bit of a hamstring going on. So there are guys that didn't train completely the whole time with us. So, you know, there were some injuries that they were coming back from that they weren't 100%. So they're going to go full go at our pro day on the 31st. They've been kind of gearing up for that. One other guy that we worked with actually since the combine, he trained elsewhere, and then he did not run well in his 40-yard dash, was Lester Jean out of FAU. And he wasn't happy with his 40-yard dash. He was in the 4.65, 4.67 range at the combine. He came back. We trained him the last 3 days to kind of tweak his technique, and he ran a 4.53 today on the grass. So, you know, he took, you know, 0.14 tenths off in 3 days. So we wish we had had him for those 7-8 weeks, but, you know, thank God he ran a good time today to help his draft status.
All right, so there you have it, the inside scoop there on the Florida Atlantic Pro Day. And when we get results from that, we'll post them over at the NFLDraftBible.com. We'll also keep you up to date on those Pro Day workouts, as we mentioned, March 31st and April 1st, going on at the Test Football Academy. That's Brian Martin from Test Football Academy. Brian, really appreciate the time today.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. Appreciate it. You guys are the best. Anytime.
Yeah, man, we'll be talking soon. And, you know, again, this has become the biggest job interview for these prospects' lives. I mean, unfortunately, today we got a little bit of bad news with the NFL labor union and all that stuff. We're not going to dwell too much on that, but the scouting combine has become such an event. You heard Bo come on earlier before in the show, 750 media credentials requested. I believe there were 600 last year. So this event becomes bigger and bigger magnitude, not only from a media coverage standpoint, but also from an NFL executive standpoint, as these NFL teams and organizations poke and pry and prod these players. And, you know, this is a job interview. And, you know, Brian does a great job there in Martinsville, New Jersey. Also based out of Boca Raton, so you can get more information from him if you look him up at the website, testfootballacademy.com, I believe it is, and they got a lot of good videos there. And, you know, someone else who's also into the game of getting athletes prepared for the NFL scouting combine, folks, is Travell Gaines from Athletes Performance. And we're lucky to have him on the show, too. And I think between Brian and yourself, Travell, I think you guys pretty much trained just about every athlete that was in Indianapolis this week.
I don't know about that, but I think a couple guys there, though.
Yeah, okay. Well, you guys did train 63 players that you had in your group there leading up to Indianapolis. Right off the bat, you know, some heavy hitters here. I see Daquan Bowers, A.J. Green. Talk about maybe right off the bat some of the players that kind of exceeded your expectations that maybe you weren't expecting.
Well, the cool thing about it was everybody pretty much ran as expected or better than expected. So there wasn't nobody there who like kind of was like, where did that come from? But I think that from an outsider's perspective, you know, guys kind of like Julio Jones, of course, he ran a lot better than a lot of people expected him to and jumped high and did all those testing very, very well. I think that Jimmy Smith, you know, he ended up running, you know, very well. I don't know if people expected him to run that fast. And, of course, the biggest surprise out of everybody from an outsider's perspective was Prince Amukamara, who ran exceptionally well, too. Was not a surprise to people here at Athletes Performance, but was a surprise to people on the you know, from the outside world.
Yeah, you know, I want to talk about Julio Jones for a second because, you know, he definitely turned some heads in Indianapolis, and he did it with a fractured foot or a broken foot. He's going to have a screw inserted into that stress fracture here on Saturday. Talk a little bit about preparing Julio for this event. I mean, how aware were you of the injury, and how much of a caution flag did you have to use leading up to the combine? I mean, obviously, he wasn't able to go 100% all the time. Just talk a little bit. Did you have to use kid gloves, or what was the approach since that was a little bit of a different, unique situation there?
Well, I think what everybody has to know is it was a stress fracture. So no one knew about the injury. He would have not been training or been put into a bad situation if people knew about the injury. And so he was made aware of it at the combine. But as you guys, if anybody has done the research on Julio, you know, he's a very tough kid. He's played several games throughout his career at Alabama with injuries. And so was not made aware of the injury until the medical reports at the combine. And, you know, shoot, you know, if you saw what he did on a fractured foot, just imagine what he could do on two healthy feet.
Wow, that's very interesting. I did not know that. So you guys were unaware of it. It sounds like Julio was unaware of it until he actually checked in and got checked out medically by the NFL doctors. Wow, that's amazing. And you know, like you said, he's a tough son of a gun, if you know what I mean. You know, you mentioned Prince Amakamore also, Travell. We're talking about Travell Gaines from Athletes Performance. Over 63 players there at the combine that he helped prepare. And Prince had to answer some of those speed questions going into Indianapolis, whether it was warranted or not. You know, was he consistently clocking sub-4 range?
Well, you know, the funny thing about Prince, I think what people always fail to realize, once again, if people did the background research on him, the kid was the Arizona State 100-meter champion coming out of high school. So it's not like he was slow. It's not like he was, you know, fast and got slow all of a sudden. You know, the kid had always had some speed the whole time. And I think that, you know, the kid was always fast. He's always ran well. And, you know, he was able to silence a lot of critics. I think any time when you're, you know, when you're big and where you're more of a muscular athlete, people think that you're going to be slower. And he did a very good job with silencing those critics as well. As did Patrick Peterson, you know, the kid from LSU who measured over 6 foot and I think was about 220 pounds, and he ran amazing. Jeez, it was great to see both those guys run and test very, very well, you know.
Yeah, we're talking to Travell Gaines from Athletes Performance, also Performance Gaines. Definitely check him out on Twitter as well, at Travell Gaines. Travell, you know, you guys have definitely had a long history of high-profile players such as Reggie Bush, Chris Johnson, even last year with Ryan Matthews. Again, this year, a lot of high-profile names. But one guy that I want to ask you about, and maybe not so much about his measurables or athletic abilities, I'm really more interested to know what kind of a kid he is and the type of person he is. And that's Arkansas quarterback Ryan Mallett, who I know you guys have been working out with. You know, how does he come across to you? And, you know, how much have you had a chance to interact with Ryan? And just give us a little insight of the image that he portrays to yourself.
Yeah, you know, see, the funny thing about Ryan is that, you know, I don't know where this bad guy rep comes from. All we can do is speak about him from the time that he walked in our doors. And the thing about Ryan is he's always the first kid there, very, very easygoing, always game for, you know, whatever's the situation. And he works very, very, very hard. And so as far as the character issues, from what I've experienced or heard about Ryan from an athlete's performance standpoint, we haven't had any. Like, he does not have a bad attitude. He always wants to work hard. He's always there early. He always stays late. He's going to do whatever it's going to take to get better. And so, like I said, I was not at Michigan, was not at Arkansas. I don't really know where those rumors or those things kind of came up from him. But from my standpoint, shoot, man, the kid's been awesome. You know what I mean? If a kid, and I don't sugarcoat stuff, because the situation I'm in, I can't gas up players or say stuff because it'll hurt our credibility. But, you know, if the kid was a punk, I would say he was a punk. But from everything that I've ever heard or from everything I know of the kid, he's awesome.
All right. Well, there you have it. Right from the horse's mouth, he's the first one to work every day. That's what you look for from your quarterback, those leadership qualities. So, you know, I got to say, I'm a little bit curious where it all comes from as well. I kind of like what I see from the kid. I think he has a chance to probably be the best quarterback from this draft class. I'm going to just go out there and say it. That's Rick Setatella here on record saying that. Talking to Travell Gaines there from Athletes Performance. A couple other guys before I let you go. Tyrone Smith, the mammoth offensive tackle from USC. I mean, he didn't get a chance to work out at the combine, but, I mean, this kid just came in and raised eyebrows from stepping on the scale.
Right.
What should we expect to see if he does get a chance to work out prior to the draft?
Well, when he worked out at his pro day at USC, I think what you're going to see is an athlete that's very athletic, very fluid, and can really run. You know, he will run a sub-5 flat 40, and I think he'll solidify himself as one of the top offensive tackles in this draft class.
Okay, and a couple more players before I let you go, Travell. I want to go over to the cornerback position, and there's a kid by the name of Devon House that I absolutely have a man crush on from New Mexico State. We actually have him as the number 2 overall cornerback in the entire draft. Big physical kid. Just spend a moment on what he brings to the table.
Well, first of all, he's a kid, man. You know, the man crush thing is kind of funny because he's one of those kids, unbelievable kid, great, great, great personality. All he wants to do is get better. Really, 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 really humble. And so a great pedigree. You know, his brother plays for the Oakland A's in their organization. And, geez, the kid just works his butt off, man. I think he ran in the 4.4 range. I think he was like the 4.43 and the 4.46 at the combine. I don't remember what his official time ended up being. I know at his pro day in New Mexico at the end of this month, he will run in that high 4.3 range. And 6'1", 200 pounds, you know, when he got here, I think it was 183. He put on almost 20 pounds of lean muscle and just – worked his butt off every day. And so, you know, I think the world of him, too. So it's not a it's a pretty good observation by you guys. So, you know, we had he was out in L.A. with Jimmy Smith and Curtis Marsh, and those guys really, really worked hard together, those three corners.
Yeah, you know, and that was actually going to be – and folks, Devon House, if you don't know, you better go on to NFLDraftBible.com or AthletesPerformance.com and ask somebody, because this kid is going to be a starter in the NFL as soon as they resume playing. If they play next year, he will be starting in the NFL. You can mark that down. Since you mentioned him, the last guy I want to end on, Curtis Marsh, Utah State, another one of these guys flying under the radar with a great deal of athletic ability, Travell.
You know, the funny part about it is, like I said, too, I think a lot of people, you guys do a great job with it, but a lot of people who aren't really follow the game, you know, he did not go to a BCS school, so he's very under the radar. But some of the kids at 6'1", 200 pounds, runs a legit 4.4 40. Every team thing that I've ever heard of every team is they all have him listed as a top 90 player on their board. And so he's a kid that's going to go up and up and up, and somebody that's going to get drafted. You know, on that second day of the draft, and people will be like, "Who's this kid?" And you know, he'll end up being a long time starter in the NFL because he's very passionate about the game. He works really, really hard, and he's been working with me for the last 3 years, so he's been around seasoned veterans and has seen how these guys train and got a chance to, you know, he really knows how to bring it in, prepare like a pro.
All right, and before we let you go, you know, any other players here that maybe some of our, you know, regular average football fans, maybe you want to throw a name or two out there for somebody who might, maybe that wasn't at Indianapolis, but might light up their pro day?
Well, I think, you know, right now we had a pretty good showing at the combine. The thing, guys that I think that are going to do well with their pro day that people might know about and might not know about is, you know, right now a huge focus for me is Daquan Bowers. You know, of course, he has his pro day. He's going to run and perform at the end of the month. You know, so I'm pretty excited about that. We just got Akeem Ayers. He was training privately with a personal trainer, and he decided to come over and work with us this month to get ready for his pro day. So pretty excited about that. And then another kid who I think is going to do pretty well, who didn't get an invite to the combine, I don't know why, he played in the Senior Bowl, is Courtney Smith from University of South Alabama. He's a kid. Mm-hmm. He's 6'4", 220. He can run. He's very aggressive. And I don't know if, you know, you probably see on his Twitter, like, you know, Terrell Owens works out with us as well, too. And, you know, Terrell says that he reminds him exactly of him when he was in college. And so I know that really means a lot to Courtney. So I think he's one that's going to open up a lot of eyes at his pro day and throughout the draft.
All right, so a good mix of guys, of potential first-round guys, also some players that you definitely need to know. That's Travell Gaines from Athletes Performance, Performance Gaines. Go to athletesperformance.com for more information. And, Travell, you know, give us an update. Where will you be? Will you be at any of these pro days? What's going on with athletes performance? And what can we find when we log on to the website?
Well, I'm scheduled to go out to the Daquan Bowers Pro Day out in Clemson. But go to athletesperformance.com. You just find out about our locations and kind of what we're doing. It's in our unbelievable staff that we have, man. It's just I love working for Athletes Performance and everything that Mark Versagan has built. And you can find out about the history of our company and kind of what we do all on athletesperformance.com.
All right. Well, there you have it, Travell. I want to thank you for joining us. I'm sure we'll be chatting soon. Always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Thanks a bunch, man. Have an amazing day.
All right. That was Travell Gaines from Athletes Performance. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, between Brian Martin and Travell Gaines combined, you know, they had about 120 of these kids out of the 330 that were up in Indianapolis, which is more than a third. It's an amazing number when you really think about it. And hanging on their every move and word was myself and Joe Everett. Speaking of the 317 area code over there in Indianapolis, it's time to welcome in our NFL draft insider, Joe Everett, to the show. And Joe, I know you got a special top 10 mock draft treat for the listeners out there, but before we get into that, just, you know, your initial impressions from the past week in Indianapolis.
Oh, thanks, Rick. It was a great time, not only just getting to interact, like Bo said earlier in the show, talking to the coaches, asking them what direction they're heading in. I've got to grill Ken Whisenhunt and shake Mike Shanahan's hand. I was a little crazy after that. I had to go calm down and breathe heavily, but it was exciting. And just, like you said, interacting with the players, getting their side of the story, as well as, you know, their impressions of what they're going through. Like you said, it's the biggest job interview of their lives.
Yeah, we definitely had a good time. And now we know, Joe, if we want to get a table at St. Elmo's, we better make a reservation about a year in advance.
Yeah, it's a hot ticket, my friend. Probably the biggest steak restaurant in town, and yeah, they do it upright. But, yeah, if you want a table, you got to know somebody.
Well, Joe, for those who might not know, you blessed us with your two-round mock draft prior to the Combine, and we had a whole week to ingest it all in and try to make sense of it all. So now that we've got to see all these players perform, a little bit of tweaking here, a little bit of tweaking there, you know, I wanted to close out the show and have a little fun with maybe take people's minds off of this whole CBA agreement, which I see you informed everybody here in the chat room. They did receive a 24-hour extension, so that must have just came down the wire. CBA 24-hour extension. We shall see what comes from that. But, you know, why don't you take it away, Joe, and walk us through here a little mock draft scenario and hit us off, number one, with the Carolina Panthers on the clock. What are they going to do?
Well, I did the pre-combine mock, and I hate to say it, but I still feel the same at this top pick. I would be shocked if they don't come away with Cam Newton. The pressure is on, and, you know, say what you want about these workouts. He is the most polarizing figure in all of sports right now, in my opinion. I mean, he is captivating. He may not draw the same crowd as a Tim Tebow, but he is quite the attention grabber, and also I think that there's going to be pressure from the fans, and of course they don't have anything in Jimmy Clausen, and I think that's been pretty much proven watching last year. I think the pressure's on to make that franchise change, and also what Cam Newton has in his back pocket, a guy like Bradford leading the Rams, just terrific first year. Now some people will really say, hey, the Rams did it, why not us? So I'd look at the Panthers actually going QB and shocking everybody and doing their cam at the next level.
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, Sam Bradford last year. We've seen it with Matt Ryan, Josh Freeman. You get yourself a franchise quarterback and things turn around. If that's the case, then you know what? Number two, Denver Broncos, maybe it wasn't such a bad idea to select Tim Tebow last year at the back end of the first round, because now they have the second overall pick and they're not forced to use it on a quarterback. Joe, where do you see the Denver Broncos going?
I've got to stick with it. Once again, it's Bowers, in my opinion. You don't have that many sacks. You don't lead the nation in the category and not grab all the attention there. And plus, like we talked to Mike Cliffs, we talked to our Broncos insiders. Now that they've officially re-signed Champ Bailey, I think they've looked straight at that new front four. John Fox even admitted as much that, you know, the 4-3 defense, we're going to need more bodies, more depth, and they'll be looking to pursue that at all fronts. But we know better than anything, they're going to be looking at Daquan Bowers. I wouldn't be surprised if they run up to the podium. And, yes, Patrick Peterson had a great draft, but with this uncertainty of free agency, once again, I do see a lot of these NFL teams drafting for need, and there is no bigger need for the Broncos than on the defensive line.
Yeah, I agree, and we just heard Terrell Gaines talking about Daquan Bowers getting ready for his upcoming NFL Pro Day workouts. Joe, last year the Buffalo Bills, you know, here's a team with a lot of needs. They had a lot of needs last year. Things haven't changed much over to this year. They used it on running back C.J. Spiller. Could they possibly even imagine thinking about going offense again here with the number three pick?
I don't think they do. And, yes, there's some good players out there. You've got a guy like Gabbert sitting right in their lap. And, of course, a playmaker like A.J. Green or the Julio Joneses of the world we just talked about. But this has to be the defensive player, and this is where my mock changes up a little bit from the previous version. I just think the guy like Von Miller, who we've been talking about this whole time, can do no wrong. He just continues to impress at every facet of this offseason, whether it's been workouts, Senior Bowl, just the competitive streak he shows and the explosive athleticism. He just really, I don't know if he could have done better at the combine. I expected him to maybe slip up in a few events, and he didn't. He looked really good. Even when he made mistakes, he looked good. He tripped over a few cones, and I was amazed at his recovery ability. So, yeah, I look at the Bills. They're still going to have that 3-4 attack, and they need outside linebackers. I believe their best on their roster remains Sean Merriman. So they definitely need not only youth, talent and depth, and Von Miller, this is a guy, he's so talented, you could put him anywhere. I don't care if it's DT, he's going to make a difference. I mean, he'd be perfect for that defense, and definitely is a guy that can't escape the top five.
Yeah, they definitely are lacking a playmaker in Buffalo. I wonder, a little bit of me wonders just how much they are still scarred from that Aaron Maben pick, if there'd be any hesitancy. But, you know, I would be hard-pressed to find Buffalo pissing up on the talents of Von Miller. Joe, number four, Cincinnati Bengals is interesting. I hear a lot of talk about maybe our guy Christian Ponder in the second round. Any chance Cincinnati goes quarterback with the, you know, whole Carson Palmer cloud hanging over the organization?
It definitely could, especially with the recent news. Not only did he put his house up for on the market and made the alleged claim that he won't set foot in Paul Brown Stadium anymore, but I still think, though, this is a team that they're going to need a new identity on offense, and if they're going to lose Ocho Cinco and T.O., I think A.J. Green at this point is ripe for the picking. I have a little favoritism, my favorite offensive player in this draft, but so many good intangibles and natural skill. I think they'd go with the can't-miss offensive player here, especially when you've got troubles in this locker room. You have, boiling personalities. A.J. Green would definitely be a great get at this point in the draft, and I'm not so sure they're crazy about Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, another thing to keep an eye on during the draft, I don't know what the rules are going to be about trading, but I know there is some interest there in Oakland. Hugh Jackson, the former Bengals wide receiver coach. Hey, who knows? Maybe Ocho Cinco could be on the move come draft weekend. Let's move on to number five. where the Arizona Cardinals gel another team here that could potentially explore quarterback. Some talk that Larry Fitzgerald won't stay without a name brand quarterback. What do you see the Cardinals doing?
They've got to go quarterback, in my opinion. And once again, this is without the lack of a free agency period. I mean, if they can't pursue guys like a potential Kevin Kolb or Donovan McNabb, I think Gabbert makes all too much sense. The tall, accurate passer sees the field well and has large wide receivers like Larry Fitzgerald and also other, you know, talented prospects. I love the kid they took last year, Andre Roberts. There's a lot of talent on this offense. If Beanie Wells ever wakes up, I realize that's a huge if. I think that's the one key cog they are missing, and Gabbert seems to be mostly the safe pick. He doesn't have the worries and accuracy of Locker or the off-field questions of a Mallett, so I think that'd be a perfect landing spot for him. And if the Cards, I mean, I just can't see how they'd be satisfied with guys like Max Hall and John Skelton. I just don't understand. If that's the case, then, you know, best of luck to him.
Yeah, and Derek Anderson was just at the debacle last year. And, you know, speaking of debacles, Joe, you know, one organization that might actually give Buffalo a run for their money in terms of needs is the Cleveland Browns. They sure have a lot of them. They released a bunch of players. They are changing. They actually do have a new defense. Where might the Browns go?
Well, the last mock I had, and I still believe it's a good fit, it was Robert Quinn here, but I really was impressed not only from the interviews, but the way he presented himself and also how well he did at the Combine. It's a Marcel Darius, apparently, is how it is pronounced. He corrected us in the media. So, hey, I'd rather have somebody who is, you know, once it's said properly and has it out there. I just think as a defensive tackle, and like you said, Rick, with Dick Geron installing the new 4-3, this is another team that needs a lot, not only different types of players, but much more depth. And Darius is a guy, you could put him anywhere. I don't care if it's on the nose as a 5-tech. He is going to be very destructive and disruptive just because he did it at college. Usually a 5-tech and a 3-4 isn't supposed to get the limelight and make the huge plays, but he went out there and did it on Saturdays. I don't think it's going to be too different on Sundays.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like it makes sense to me. Moving on to number 7, the 49ers. You know, we had 49ers beat writer Matt Barrows on the clock the other day, and he was saying that the Alex Smith 49ers is a marriage made out of convenience. With the pending lockout. So, unfortunately for San Francisco fans, Alex Smith could be returning. Joe, where might they be turning in the NFL draft with that 7th overall pick?
I think this is where Patrick Peterson just has to fall. The need fits the situation, and he is, I'd say, the most talented player left on the board just because of what he brings to the table. The 49ers actually are pretty good at kick returner, but they are terrible at cornerback. They have a lot of uncertainty there at the position, and Matt Barrows actually said dream scenario would be Von Miller, but I just think he has blown up too much. At this point, you go best player available, and the reason why they hired Harbaugh, he can fix these QB situations. I say take the best available here, and that is definitely Mr. Peterson, who is, we already talked about it multiple times in the show, just phenomenal this last week.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh knows a thing or two about quarterbacks. Joe, wind us down here. We've got about a minute or so. Wrap us up through these final three picks. You got Tennessee at 8, Dallas at 9, and Washington at 10. Run it.
I've got the Titans taking Nick Fairley, and yes, this is a little too a la Haynesworth, but I think he's a good fit and exactly what they need. You have to remember last year they took Derek Morgan on the end, and I think he is still got a lot of untapped potential. You tandem these two guys up on the same side, you better look out. That's where Fairley falls to the Titans. Then the Cowboys at 9, I still think they take Tyron Smith. I think this USC tackle, say what you want, maybe it didn't work out, but there is a lot of upside with this kid. Very young, very athletic. I think he could be a future tackle for the Cowboys. And Last is those Washington Redskins. They just re-signed O.J. Atagwe, but I think they're going offense, and maybe it's the big surprise pick of the entire first round that I've got, but I've got to say it. I think Locker finds his way to Shanny's offense,
ooh,
be it by hook or crook. He's going to be the quarterback of the Redskins.
There you go. A little shot to end the mock. That's Joe Everett, NFL Draft Bible, NFL Draft Analyst. I am Rick Saratella. That about does it for the show. Be sure to log on to NFLDraftBible.com. Go All Access, folks. Membership details now available. And I just want to remind everybody we will be on again in about a half hour or so, 6:30. Check us out. The Dallas Cowboys will be on the clock. I want to thank everybody for joining us, our special guests, Beau Marchant, Joe Everett from the NFL Draft Bible. We also were joined by Brian Martin from Test Football Academy and Travell Gaines from Athletes Performance. Great, great show. If you joined us late, make sure you go back, check out the archives. Draft Digest Weekly for Rick Saratella and the NFL Draft Bible Familia. You can catch the show same time, same place, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, each and every Thursday. Catch you later, folks.